Honorable members, DG and staff, let me make a few observations before I open the floor. I think that we will all agree that this committee doesn't want to be a talk show or become a consultative forum whose views are irrelevant. Also that this committee does not expect the department to be a moving train that does not stop at a stop street, even if there are passengers. Last year, we made recommendations which were presented to the House, and we would expect that when you come back to us, you also tell us what have you done or what are you doing with the recommendations made in 2014. And we also said last year that for the past 20 years we were busy with the transformation of the judiciary, which is going very well, but that this time we want to deal with the transformation of the legal system in its entirety. And we have not heard anything about these things. We also, whilst we were debating the legal practice bill, we said we were concerned with the transformation of the curriculum at universities and the fact that universities have been made laws unto themselves and they transform at their pleasure, and we said that is not acceptable. We also raised the question of the inclusion of indigenous African law into the curriculum, because the majority of the people of this country are indigenous African people who are also entitled to access justice. We also said that the traditional cost bill is something that the whole country has been waiting for, and even in our meeting with the Chief Justice we were made to understand that the failure or neglect to pass this bill is putting unnecessary burden on the judiciary, which may discredit them. And we are not hearing anything about this bill. I recall that last time we were told that a concept paper would be presented to us, but there's no mention of giving that concept paper today. We discussed the question of community courts, and we were told that there are some initiatives in that regard, but the report is silent on that. When we discussed the legal practice bill, we were urged not to raise issues about paralegal legislation and that a separate bill would be introduced. But there's no mention about the paralegal legislation, except that some paralegals would be introduced at local and regional courts, which is not what we're talking about. Also, when we dealt with access to justice, raised the question of the importance of community-based paralegals and advice centers, but that also does not appear in the report. When you deal with law reform and rulemaking, you are referring to entities, but it's not clear as to Who set the agenda for these entities? Where are their latest reports? What contribution are they making to the transformation, the desired transformation of the legal system? You have also referred to promotion, protection, and information and enforcement of human rights. Last year we indicated that there was a forum against racism in the department which existed for several years, and there were attempts to restructure it, but there's no report as to where is it now. It doesn't appear anywhere, and we know that the country is facing racism at schools and in universities, different forms of inhuman practices and intolerance, religious intolerance, now xenophobia, and the fact that we have xenophobia, which indicates that our people don't understand even the constitution and the rights of other citizens, especially foreign nationals, could be an indication that your project is not delivering or is non-existent, and we would be interested to hear about that. You know, also we talk about social justice, constitutional values. Maybe we are using too much English. If we were to unpack the concept of Ubuntu, which is the fountainhead of constitutional values, human rights, maybe our people would understand these things better, internalize them, observe them. And what is it that we are doing actually to mainstream Ubuntu as a fountainhead of our constitutional values and human rights? When you go to Goal 4, there's no indication that we are really combating this constitutional illiteracy, that there is a clear civic education program that is accessible to the people. You talk about the best interest of children. There are structures like National Children's Rights Committee, but there's no indication that any support is given to this structure, which has the footprints in all the 9 provinces. In short, one doesn't see a clear link between the department and the people. And we, as people's representatives, so we want to hear how your programs link up with the ordinary people, and also what impact do they make on the people. But to conclude, I think we also emphasize the question of public interest law last year, the name public interest law does not even appear anywhere in your documents. I think we should expect from you to come up with a costed legal transformation program of action. Your participation, your project on the SAJA, which is funded by Foundation for Human Rights, how long is the board of that? How long do these boards exist? Do they set their agenda independently, or do they set the agenda jointly with them? Maybe in that regard, we also need to see if we don't need a civil society endeavor to assess the impact of some of these structures and see if there's no need to restructure them. But finally, you talked about the international participation. There's no mention of the African Charter on Human and People's Rights, the African Commission of Human Rights, and whether or not this structures have any relationship with us. Lastly, very last point to make. You said that it's not true that there are legal practitioners who don't get work from the department. Today there is an article in the Cape Times entitled Advocates Fight for Transformation. And a certain Matiwela says that he has been protesting 4 weeks, and the protest will end at the end of this month. And he also refers to a report produced by the Center for Applied Legal Studies, which says that briefs only go to the untransformed mainline law firms. So we haven't seen these reports, but I think it would be useful that when you talk to us, there's also an indication that you are aware of the concerns on the ground and what is happening, so that we can get your response to these things, because if our reports and our discussions do not directly relate to what the people are seeing or perceiving on the ground, it would mean that there's a gap between this institution and the people, and we may run the risk of being regarded as irrelevant to the people's causes, and that would not be in the interest of deepening and entrenching democracy in our country. I thank you. Now I want to, in the course of the discussion, I guess you can respond to some of these things, but I want to give the members a full opportunity to raise issues and engage with you. Can I take hands, please? Honorable Maila, Honorable Bonga, Honorable Majaki, let's start with the Honorable Mpumulwana. Can I allow all of them to make their points, you note them, so that you can flow without interruption? Honorable Mpumulwana?
Yes, I really am impressed by generally on the whole of our work. I think your department is broad, and I think that you really do have good brains around this. I want also to say mainly that you are trying to cover quite a lot, and on the things that you raised, particularly on this one of default judgment, I hope that it is going to assist a lot of people. Now I just have very few points to make, not more than 14. I mean, you remember that you have talked for more than 2 hours or 3 hours. For the time I did lose, I may have left some. well, I don't know why they stopped. They took. Can you allow me to finish? On the question of the alignment of courts with municipal boundaries, in fact, I think I would suggest that you look at the proximity with the courts, particularly in the rural area, to find some areas people passing a car to go to their district, passing the court and travel for about taking 40 kilometers, leaving the court next door about 5 kilometers from them, because that portion is in another district. So if you could also trust that in not only looking at municipal boundaries, I think the question of traditional courts has been raised by the chairperson. I'll start it. I just want to defend, maybe, when you are a late comer in some of the things, I also came late today, something like that. The basic difference between the Solicitor General you're talking about and the head of the NPA, are there any special differences, apart from the fact that it might have been borrowed from somewhere in America or something? I'm not saying bad, but just one. The question of the roles, I want to find out which roles are, you say, are of telekinesia, and who will be responsible for making such or amending them. I kept thinking about roles of court, and that in the roles of this court, there are roles that of Polish nature. I just didn't understand. Can you explain further about that? There is also which you may explain the some magistrates have been complaining and saying, you guys, I mean, we are in recent years been paid much less than even the prosecutors now. When they come to court, they mean these chefs have got more money than you do. I'm not sure, but that is the complaint. That's the reason court magistrates who said that to me. I want to congratulate you again on trying to minimize postponements. I mean, that's very people do stay for something like 5 years sometimes waiting for a case being postponed all the time. 5 years is really detention without more especially a person who doesn't pay. I want to thank you. I hope you can monitor that. Can I ask you on this? You see this question of the victims. You are assisting the victims. I really say thank you for that. But I want to find out, is it not possible? Now this is something new. That the victims, when there's somebody is a victim of crime, as you are continuing with a case, or even after the arrest, or something like that, as soon as the matter is in your hands, that you work with this Department of Social Development, such that the social workers assist the victims, you know, what do you call it, this English term to, you know, treat mental problems of that particular person. This also to the victims of the children of the parents that are divorced or are in the process of divorce. They really do need some, can you assist in that? As I said, that is something that I am just posing. You may consider, you may decide it might be a good thing. Thank you very much for attending to the signed petition with the question of lawyers assisting them, but there is a problem. I'm not sure. I always wonder, why should the government employ lawyers only whose duty is to look for other lawyers? I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm asking you, sometimes you get a quality surveyor who is employed by government only to look for other quality surveyors and pay them. And there's a corruption there, because if I get jobs from through you guys, you are there and you know. And lawyers, I'm not saying they are like that. I mean, surely some of them are not like that. The case, you know, because they have to eat. Now, we keep on postponing these cases, because then by postponing I get more money. I appear in court and somehow, even if there is no case, I won't say there's no case because I need money. So, could you consider those lines? But I mean, the question of TRC, there is a complaint which I received from a person who was a victim, whose shop and house were destroyed by security police during the time of liberation. He's in Willowvale, his name is Mr. Jaska, in a place called Los Juanizo. And nothing has been done. He's been to the GRC and they've never been compensated in any way. Now I can't say I'm thinking about this new thing. I hope it will assist, for example, the DCS when they are going to go for parole. Before they give a parole, we need to look into the Sanderson remark and the judgment. This is because of the delay in that section. So I only hope it will help, because that the judgments are automatically following the convicted person to prison, so that he is able to, if they automatically scan into the system. The last one, is regarding the master's office in Dada. There are three complaints there. The first one is by the Auditor General about the status of the building. It's old and it's very unsafe. Could you assist in there? Secondly, there is no storage space for all sides. As a result, that was a problem of space. There is also a complaint about lack of job evaluation, which was not done in Bishop and in Kata, but which was done in Elizabeth and in Grahamstown. Thank you very much. Sorry about it.
You know, when senior people talk and talk the right things, you can't stop. I think those are important points. Honorable Naila.
No, thanks a lot, Chairperson. And thanks, DG, for your presentation. And, you know, when you were presenting, your passion was telling me that the year ahead is really going to give us the desired results. I was checking on your new vision. You have omitted the word transformed, and I want to check, is it because you believe that where we are, we have reached the desired transformation? Because personally, I still believe that we still need more to do on the transformation of the legal system. There is somewhere, DG, where you indicate that you have appointed a consultant to facilitate the formation of a national forum. So, from where I am, I want to be assisted. When you reach a decision to appoint a consultant, does it mean you have made an assessment of the department and you feel that the officials that you have appointed do not have capacity at all to do what you appointed them for? And I would be pleased if in the future we could do very little, we could appoint lesser and lesser of consultants until we run on our own, because we believe that we appoint officials to do their duty. Well, on the issue of access to justice, the small claims courts, I was just saying it is good that you are envisaging to have small claims courts in every municipality. But my challenge is, especially in rural municipalities, you have municipalities which are very vast. And at times, when you look at these municipalities, they have some clusters. So I was just thinking, is it possible that even maybe we have a small claims court at the center of the municipality? Can we allow for a mobile service, maybe to other clusters, on a need basis? Lord. so that we can be able to lead people to access these courts.
When the alignment of municipal, magisterial district to municipal boundaries, I would just urge you to keep on until we reach there. Anyway, thanks very much for the presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Maila. Honorable Bonga.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, DG, for the presentation. Let's start with cybercrime. I think we may need to move with the speed of a mirage in terms of addressing that particular matter. Coming up with the legislation is a matter that is at the center of the security trust. And then on the issue of the 73 million that has been allocated for promoting the constitution, I think we want to see more action on that one, because I think it's linked also to what the person has raised earlier, that we need to teach citizens on the serious note about this constitution and its implications. And I wish to see turnaround strategies in the issue of the master's office. Because this is the issue, so there are cases that will last there for over 2 years, 3 years, sometimes five, and we don't know what are the real problems. And I see you say you want to re-engineer the small claims court. I just want to take us to town in terms of this. Because semantics sometimes may create problems. So what does this re-engineering entail? Because last time what we raised sharply was we may need to investigate as a department to increase the amount itself, because still the one that will increase is still a smaller amount, because the small claims court can afford a lot of issues, particularly in court, looking at increasing the amount. And then coming to, they are also saying they'll use employment and their programs, but I'm not being taken to town about what are this program, what do they intend, vis-a-vis what was said last time, that there are a lot of law graduates in the country. And we need to maximize their utilizations. So what does this problem entail? How will they come up with it to turn around? Then the other issue would be the issue of, we can't overemphasize, Chairperson, the issue of black lawyers. But what we appreciate is they may have to, next time they meet with us, they must give us a breakdown, a clear breakdown of what is happening there, because we are hearing voices through the media and through this article that the Chairperson was speaking about. We need a breakdown, a clear breakdown of the black lawyers, not necessarily, we're just clear on the ground that the black lawyers that must be given work, so that we create the capacity to have more judges in the future. Because we cannot keep on having the system untransformed. So we may need to accelerate that particular matter on the very serious notes. But generally, I think the person has covered a lot of the issues that I wanted to touch on. I think I can stop the session for now. Thank you.
Honorable Bongan, Honorable Majaki.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG, for the presentation of this broad department. The mandate is very broad, and we just appreciate the efforts that you put in to try to implement this very broad mandate and the challenges that goes with it. And indeed, to continue to appreciate the revised vision, and of course, Honorable Maila has expressed concern about the transformation part of the vision, because we're not transformed yet. You actually indicated that you had your MTSS in November. I'm worried about this for 2015-2016. And I'm just worried about the timing in terms of budget approval issue, whether you get the budget first and then you plan later. You shouldn't do it the other way around. So that by the time your budget is approved, it's approved based on the plan that has already been passed. It's something that needs to be looked at. And of course, I guess also it goes into our own parliamentary processes, because the concern is that we may find ourselves not being in the position to really give enough input into what needs to be funded for the next financial year, because if those processes come and it's already something that's big, you just have to loop around with it and see how you can actually make it possible without us really getting that opportunity of infusing ideas in it and maybe making the necessary adjustments where it's possible. Previously, we had indicated about small claims costs. To some extent, there seems to be areas of the prejudice of the small claims court that may not be user-friendly. Like when the complainant comes, they're getting forms to see, and they've got to give notice to the defendant. But when you look at the process, it looks like it's a process that can be done by people who are literate, and which means it is probably working negatively to us people who cannot actually write. I wonder whether it's something that has been taken up. And also offices where the sheriffs are placed. Some are placed in some remote, obscure places that means people in cars. If people are really using public transportation, one realizes that it might really become very difficult to access those places. And what is the alternative judicial administration framework that will be responding to LP? I try to understand it. I couldn't just actually catch what it was all about. And the idea of rationalizing various existing rulemaking structures, I think, is very good. Over the past few days, we've been talking about fragmented services. So the more fragmented it is, the more it becomes difficult to coordinate. And sometimes when there's no coordination, there's confusion, and there may not be the necessary impact. The aspect of youth, I think it's good, much appreciated, because it, in a way it actually responds to some of the challenges that we've got as a country of poverty and unemployment and inequalities. So if you really giving it the try this time in terms of the plan to manage to address the various of this nature. IJS, thanks for the presentation and the graphic demonstration that you gave. I think the concern in that area is the slow pace at which this whole thing is taking place, and I realize that some of the areas that might be problematic have to do with what is beyond your mandate also. It would be good to see us really fast-tracking ideas. It's not only going to actually assist us with the current challenges and problems that we've got in terms of crime in South Africa, but also just to make our machinery to be much more efficient. In terms of the issues that are affecting women, which is probably something that you may raise with legal in South Africa when it comes, we need to actually have a move towards ensuring that legal in South Africa doesn't really only manage to provide legal representation much more to cleaners only, but also to come into the area of assisting women. So she may find that in some cases, for example, with maintenance cases, a woman might not be in the position to get maintenance for the man who opposes the order in court to utilizing a lawyer. because it means that this person has got money to get a lawyer to represent them in court, and the woman is maintaining the family wouldn't be in the position to afford it. So it's an area that we want to have looked at so that we can be in the position to have an arrangement that such that it can allow women to access legal services, which is TRC. There have been complaints. All of those complaints have been really resolved. You've actually became a professional in your rehabilitation program. But we don't want to hear Kulumani again after we've seen you coming up with statements that actually really confuse us. So now in terms of what you're presenting now, it looks like and feels like everything is in order. Just all of that Kulumani was complaining about being sorted out. With country reports, do you have numbers in terms of how many country reports you have to do? Even if, you know, maybe the reporting times are staggering, but to indicate, I think that will have to do with the number of international human rights treaties that we have actually already ratified. Because they've actually indicated that something about 12, are there 12 in all? Or because you're making reference of the delay is around the 12, is it the only 12 that we are actually responding to? And is it the reports for the AU, you know, indicate which ones are for, if we have SADC ones, AU ones, and United Nations ones, how many of those we've got? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Breitenbach, can I recognize you even if you have not raised your hand?
I have only one issue to raise, Chair, thank you, and to sort of an old horse that's been ridden hollow. My interest is in the occupation-specific dispensation, how that is progressing, and what the position is currently. Thank you.
Additional questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, just one thing, Kizzy. I'm not sure how far you on the question of the African language used in court. I want to stress that with the small experience I have in courts is that the policemen take statements in English and they don't know English. And the person now when he goes to court he says, I never said that. Or he is, justice is where it's not done because of the language. So the whole system. So I wanted to find out, I was suggesting some things that let it be done in the African languages and let only the English be used just to tell the device that it records these things only. Because we've got the problem that a magistrate will understand the language, lawyers also understand the language, and they are accused in everybody. And this thing is done in English, and this person is in a foreign court. In this way, it becomes very, very foreign. I think justice will well be done, and then you'll agree with me, if an African language is used in court, in all the courts. Thank you very much.
I'm going to make a proposal on the way forward, but before I do so, may I remind you that Parliament agreed with the President Jacob Zuma when he said we need radical transformation in all sectors. I think it's incumbent upon your department to convince us so that we also can convince Parliament and the people of South Africa that there is a radical transformation that you are bringing about. I think what Honorable Mpumalanga is saying is very important, because if the courts are functioning well, the electronic systems are functioning well, but the consumers of legal services don't understand what the judges, the legislators and the lawyers are saying, we can't talk about any access to justice. So the question of language is critical, and I guess we could even create work if we require that no law degree will be given unless the students at least has passed one indigenous African language. We will have translators for this language, the teachers. We will rebuild the African language department. Let's talk about this. I think there's also the question that was raised, I don't remember by who, I think Honorable Bonga or Machaki, about these law firms, Honorable Bonga, these law firms that are getting work. Can't we get their profiles? Find and be given information as to how many law clerks have they employed from disadvantaged communities? Because the work that you give them must actually help us by to produce more historically disadvantaged lawyers who are required for the transformation of the legal system. I think Honorable Majaki also raised another important point. When you were presenting a sketch there, you were even showing how the legal aid South Africa is connected, so that they can pick up how many people have been arrested, so that services are given immediately. But there's nothing about the children, the women, and the people with disabilities. And those are the vulnerable people in our community. And the criminals, though protected by the Constitution, cannot be put above women, children, and people with disability. Otherwise, maybe we are creating a criminal state without children and their mothers. So that really has got to be addressed. And the proposal I want to make, honorable members, is that maybe we break now and allow the DG and her team, I see they were taking copious notes, so that they can prepare their responses, and preferably in writing, and then tomorrow morning when we start, we change the responses that are in writing, because I think those responses will also contribute to the kind of way forward that we want to see. Would that be acceptable, honorable members? And the DG? Okay. No, thank you very much. Let me say in conclusion that we thank you very much for your report. You had the Honorable Majaki says that mandate is broad, very broad, and that may be also an obstacle to you following up on everything that we realized. So take our criticism as a reminder that you could do more and strive to do so. Thank you very much and enjoy your stay in Cape Town. And the mayor of Cape Town was not within reach. We could have asked her to give you the freedom of the city. Thank you. Bye. Tomorrow we meet at 9, in V227. 9 o'clock, V227 tomorrow. Sorry. I've been advised by Honorable Bonga that I should give you the freedom of the city, because it's one of the South African cities. You are welcome.
saying that.
Oh, the meeting is at V454, on the other side of the same floor, V454. Thank you very much, and one more.
Okay.